a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey guys, what's happening?
Jake and Ben filling in for Hans and Scotty G, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans is sunning himself somewhere. We talked about, where is Hans? I don't even know, actually.
I think he's like, he's somewhere tropical. I want to say like the Bahamas or something. I don't know. Somewhere tropical.
Did he spray on his tan before he went?
Oh, yeah. You didn't notice how tan he was getting leading up to? Yeah, no, he did. And actually, I don't think he spray tans. I think he... He does the...
Well, he does spray tan, maybe not all the time.
He used to. Yeah, sure, he did that once.
He hits the beds?
No, he does.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does it right before vacation.
He's very vain.
He claims not to do it a lot, but he does it right before vacation.
I would be surprised if he owned a bed.
I asked him that. Yeah. No, he...
Oh, he does.
He says he doesn't, but yeah. No, he's traded something for a bed.
Listen, have I ever told you the story? Lloyd obviously knows this story really well, but Valentine's Day is coming up. And shout out to our guy, Steve Johnson. Steve had an idea.
The bubbling tub of love.
To do the bubbling tub of love, where Hans and John Lund at the time would do a show in the morning from a hot tub.
Yep.
And it was outside, too, if memory serves. And so they're hanging out doing the show.
I think it was like on the corner of a street.
Uh-huh.
They had this thing set up.
Hanging out doing a show. And one of the Zone girls at the time noticed, like, oh, these bubbles are orange. What's up with this gross water? What's up with these bubbles? It's just gross orange.
You guys not clean this out before.
And Hans stood up and
he had painted himself.
He was orange from the nipples up. And Casper the Friendly Ghost.
He didn't really think it through at the time.
Just a line of orange. How funny is that?
How well do you tan? I bet you don't tan much.
Oh, no. I sunburn.
Yeah, you burn quickly.
Yeah, right.
I bet Lloyd picks up a good tan. You kind of just got naturally olive colored.
Natural,
skin.
Yeah. But the thing is, I pop off the shirt now as I've gotten older, and now I'm pretty pale.
Yeah.
As I've gotten older.
I'm not
a person that likes to be shirtless a lot these days.
I honestly can't wait for the summer sports days when my kids hit that age where you're just sitting in a lawn chair watching them play soccer, football, or whatever in the summer. And I can just really hone in a solid farmer tan.
Who tans best on the staff?
Oh, Lloyd.
Well, outside of Lloyd. I bet Scott Mitchell, from his years playing in the sun, I bet you he bakes a perfect golden brown really quickly. Not that those Detroit
looks like
winters are giving you a lot of great sun, but I bet you, because he lived in Florida.
Yeah, he's like naturally tan right now.
Yeah. I bet you he glows.
Tell you what, it ain't Scotty.
No, Scotty and you have very similar complexion.
Right.
I bet you guys go burn fast.
Yeah, that's it.
PK. But PK gets some good color because he's a golfer. Spends a lot of time outside.
Anywho,
I'm just curious.
This got weird.
It did get weird.
I've heard Scotty and Hans' show. It's always weird. This is not.
Oh, that's not true.
This is not par for the course. This is not par for the course.
I'm half tempted.
You guys are always fighting about your avatar picture, Lloyd.
That's because
that's something else.
Did you change something?
I'm not mean about it.
Did you change something for Hans while he was gone? While he can't do anything about it?
No.
That's a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, no, I should have. But I moved away from it. And not only that, he has boycotted me completely. Like, we don't even follow each other. Like, we just don't.
Should we spend this whole hour just talking about funny Hans stories that he probably doesn't want revisited on the air?
There's a lot.
There's so many, and they're all so good.
He's certainly the Kyrie Irving of our staff.
Oh, easily.
Whoa, how so?
Drama. Every day is something going on. Just when you think things are settling in, bring something up. Demands something wild.
Hans is pretty low maintenance on the
weekdays. He's also out there. Like, there's some things you'll learn about him, and you're like, huh, that's weird.
Well, who else would be the Kyrie Irving?
So you do believe it's the Earth is flat?
Listen, here, from working with Hans for a long, long time now, we can pull back the curtain on this. Hans is actually pretty low maintenance when it comes to his daily show. I mean, he's professional, knows what he wants to get to and all that stuff, but he's pretty chill.
Right.
Something flips with him on the weekends where he turns into a different person. And my theory,
maybe it's because he's spending it's outside of his normal hours that he's not quite used to.
I think it's outside of his normal role. This is my theory on it, that he's kind of he's the anchor for this past year has been Ute coverage, but I mean college football coverage in the past where it's kind of, you know, he's kind of the guy running the show, and not the show literally, but I mean like our coverage, you know, it centers around our guy. And like I said, Hans is a professional. He takes it very seriously. Like he wants to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, he wants things to be good.
Since he's out of his comfort zone a little bit, he turns into like the most high maintenance guy on the planet.
He was paid handsomely for a while to be an absolute animal on the weekends. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was baked into his brain permanently.
Saturdays, the switch flips.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's game time.
It's game time. Whether he was at BYU or playing in arena football or playing in the NFL, he just becomes an animal on the weekends because that's what he was told to do and trained to do forever. So that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
We had a stretch of producers that he was just like, oh, he was not a fan of. You know, we finally actually knocked it out of the park with some producers. He's like, I love all the producers. Just barely. I was like, this is great. And then all of a sudden we're losing some of those people. I'm like, dang it. Had some good producers.
He told a veteran producer, like somebody that knew what they were doing going into to working on Saturday, and that he would never work in this town again.
And I probably should have never forgiven him for saying that to me, but
it wasn't Lloyd.
But also he was never a producer, which very few people in sports radio get to skip that line unless you played professional sports. And he did.
It makes,
it just gives you a different perspective. But it's the same reason why athletes scoff at the media when they try and say, like, we know what it's like. It's like, you've never done it. You've never been there. You don't know what the locker room is actually like. You don't know what the coaching relationship is like at all. So the same way they would scoff and say, you're just as out of touch, we can say that about not knowing what a producer's job actually is.
All right, the big news, and we'll jump into Lowry, we'll talk some Jazz, but there's big NBA news that just broke 10 minutes ago, Ben. Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets before the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. Yeah, we can make this the starter, Lloyd. Let's go ahead.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sham Sharania reported about a little over 10 minutes ago that Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. And now every other NBA reporter has followed suit. We could also report. So Kyrie's told the team he wants out. Apparently, let's see, who's this according to? Crispy Haynes. This is a fallout from the failure to reach an extension in the offseason.
Brooklyn Nets on the fourth best record in the Eastern Conference. They've been without KD for a little bit of a stretch. I know they're getting him back or have gotten him back. Is he back yet? Honestly,
I don't think so.
I don't think he's back yet either. They are 5.5 games back of the Boston Celtics, but there was a real strong belief that when they're fully healthy, they're as good as anybody in the Eastern Conference because they have that top-tier talent. You cannot replace Kyrie Irving from a talent standpoint. So whatever they do this year, they're going to get worse. They trade Kyrie, and they are no longer title contenders. He's that good of a player. We saw him here in Salt Lake put 48 on the Jazz. When he's dialed in and he's focused, he really is as good as it gets on an NBA floor at that position. The issue is that off the floor, this is who Kyrie always is.
Or at least it would appear that way. I think a lot of people out there were skeptical of whether or not this was going to work when KD and Kyrie first put it together, and count me among them. But it goes to show that people just assume their like relationships and things like that, assume things that are far from fact. Like, was the Kyrie-KD relationship because they're best buds, or was it a relationship of convenience? Because KD needed to put together a winner, and he was the biggest, Kyrie that is, was the biggest free agent. It was almost convenience, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I mean, it's convenient. Kawhi was available, and Paul George became available. Are they best buds? I have no idea. Obviously, Kyrie doesn't care enough about KD to salvage the situation for him or even put up with it for a third of a season longer. Don't care where I go, just not going to stay here.
And here's the crazy thing. There's like one spot you can trade Kyrie. Like, where are you trading him that makes sense?
Well, they'll trade him to the Lakers for pennies on the dollar.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And there's almost, and I promise you, I could be wrong, but I strongly suspect this. They don't want Russell Westbrook back. They don't want, KD doesn't want that sideshow. You want KD to request a trade from the Brooklyn Nets? Make him play with Russ again and answer all those questions about Russ.
Oh, listen here. Russ will be involved, but not because he's a good player, but because that's the only way they make the salary
work. Interestingly, this morning, Chris B. Haynes reports that the Jazz and the Lakers have re-engaged in talks on Russell Westbrook.
Of course they have. The Lakers have to get them off of their him off of their team.
Because they want to win. And all of a sudden, Kyrie, just like he did with KD, you put LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie on a team together, and they have a puncher's chance to win the finals, at least win every playoff series they're in, which by default gets you to the finals if you have a puncher's chance to win it.
If Kyrie plays.
And I think you and I both agree, maybe you don't. I think the West is still wide open.
Oh, I totally agree.
There is
with that,
not a favorite in the West. Even the Lakers, who are currently in the 12th or 13th seed in the West, you put AD, Anthony Davis, Kyrie, and LeBron all on the same team together, and you don't totally blow up the infrastructure around them. In fact, the main piece you lose is Russell Westbrook and draft picks down the road. You can still win a title with that team, at least compete for the finals.
Man, I don't know if it gets that. There's got to be another team with a better offer than that. Two firsts in 5 years, and Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving?
Okay, again, this is where the Jazz step in. The Jazz step in and say, well, we'll match your salaries. We've got a bunch of guys that can match your salaries. And in fact, probably keep you somewhat competitive in the East, and may even give you some guys that could be a part of your future. The Jazz could absolutely facilitate a deal like that. No question the Jazz could facilitate a deal like that. And it's the same salaries they were going to have to send to the Lakers anyways for Russell Westbrook. You just send them East. Who cares? But it's Malik Beasley. It's Jared Vanderbilt. Colin Sexton reportedly has been thrown around about in trade talks as well. So if you're the Nets, you know, again, there are only here's the teams that could trade for him that we know have pieces out there. It's like the Toronto Raptors, the Jazz, the Lakers. Maybe the Phoenix Suns if they wanted to move DeAndre Ayton, and I don't think if you're the Suns right now, you need Kyrie next to Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
No.
So that doesn't make any sense. Otherwise, who's close? Like Miami? But Miami, are you going to give up Bam Adebayo? No. And or, I don't think the Nets are doing it for, who's their shooter that we've talked about? Duncan Robinson.
No.
Like, that's not a good enough return. You need pieces. And the Toronto Raptors aren't doing it because they don't need to rent Kyrie for the next couple of months. It really, really only makes sense if the Lakers would be involved in this deal. I mean, almost exclusively, and that's why Kyrie knows that. And there are just not many teams that can deal with the Lakers the same way the Jazz could that could be interested in two picks down the road because the Jazz are in pick acquisition mode.
See, that's interesting. I wonder if it's he wants to end up with the Lakers, but they don't have cap space to sign him in the offseason, so you get this done and he can just re-sign with the Lakers.
And I actually do think they do have cap space in the offseason, but he wants to be gone now. He wants to be gone now.
Well, because he wants to screw over the Nets.
Yeah. And maybe the Nets just hold on to him and say, no, we're going to try and win the title. We've pieced it together before. We think when you're healthy, we can do it. But I would think that's really playing with fire.
Well, he's shown willingness to no-show, so.
Yeah.
You risk him just saying, well, I'm not playing here anymore.
And he's still going to get a Supermax deal in the offseason.
I doubt that, but yeah.
He'll get as much money as someone can pay him.
As someone can pay him. I don't think he gets a Supermax.
Well, he'll get $200 million, whatever. Well, understand that's hyperbole. I'm using short-term. He's going to get $250 million this summer.
I was taking you literally. I don't know if, how old is Kyrie now?
Was he 30?
He's older than that, isn't he?
I think he was 19 when he came into the league.
So 30, so he's still, I mean, he's
30
got a,
years old.
He's got another four-year deal then?
Yeah. He'll get 4 years, $200 million. No question.
No question, though?
Yeah.
You think a team would sign this headache after all of this?
The Lakers will.
But that's the thing, the Lakers can't afford it.
I think the Lakers can. They have everything coming off the books.
They could have three max players on their roster? I don't think so.
Yeah, they can. They have like $50 million available this summer. That's what their whole design is. Why they've been so unwilling to trade these draft picks is they recognize that like this summer, if they just wait, they can have everybody they want. And maybe that ends up being a hang up here is they don't want to part with these draft picks, but every single person on their roster comes off the books this season. Other than AD and other than LeBron.
Next year, LeBron makes $53.3 million. Anthony Davis makes 40.6. They're already at 98 mil. That's not a max deal under the cap.
But you get, what, $40 million out of that? Because you can get up to $130 million? Whatever. You know what I mean?
But you have to be semantics. Under the cap to sign somebody in the offseason. They can't sign him to a max deal in the offseason.
But they can give him $40 million to get right up to the cap. Whatever. We're arguing over weird semantics that are pretty unimportant in this conversation.
Yeah, the hard and fast rules in the CBA are pretty important.
But to this point, yes, they can get Kyrie right now. And so it makes sense to get him right now if you can. Especially if you're getting rid of Russ and you have a chance to win this year and next year. And if it costs you a couple of draft picks, it might be worth it. There are clearly not many players that they were willing to move these for. But instead of just saying, hey, we're attaching unprotected first-round draft picks to get rid of Russ, you say, no, we're doing it to get Kyrie, and that's easier to sell.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's dumb how they valued those draft picks in the first place. You have LeBron James on your team.
Yeah.
What do you care? You're trading the future for LeBron James on your team.
Yeah.
That's what that's what you signed up for when you signed him. Look at his entire career. He's never thought about the future of the franchise once. And by the way, I don't mean that as a shot. That's not his job. But that's never been his priority. You have LeBron. You win now.
Yeah.
Prime or not prime. So, Kyrie Irving requesting a trade. Is he coming to the Jazz, Ben?
No. Again, there's only one spot if he gets traded he could go, and it's the Lakers. The only spot that makes any sense at all. The Clippers, I guess, conceivably could put a deal together, and they want a guard, but you're not moving Paul George or Kawhi.
Man, the Clippers would be good with that move.
Yeah, of course.
That would be solid. But what do they have to trade?
Yeah, Norman Powell, Robert Covington.
I don't know what their pick situation
I know where they are. They're all in Oklahoma City.
They can't all be, but yeah.
But basically.
Right. So I don't know where else. I don't know. But do they have zero picks like the Lakers had zero picks until this offseason? I don't know. The Clippers would be really good with him, though. I'll tell you that. Norman Powell's good, but not as good as Kyrie. I'm trying to think. Sorry, Ben. I'm racking my brain on other possible destinations. You make a good point about Miami, but I think Kyrie automatically makes Miami really good, but that depends. No way you give up Bam for a third of a season with Kyrie.
No, it's Duncan Robinson and, yeah, a rookie.
But see, that's the thing, is if the market sucks for Kyrie, then maybe you can get him for salary and draft picks. Because the Nets have got to realize they're not going to get better by moving Kyrie no matter what.
Yeah. It's a mess. Kyrie's done this on purpose. Although you don't do this 6 days before the trade deadline unless you're trying to hurt the franchise.
No, he's absolutely trying to hurt the franchise.
Yeah.
100%.
Which, again, so it goes back to the Pat Rileys of the world who are going to say, oh, no thank you. Like, yeah, you can, okay, Duncan Robinson or nothing. That's your offer. They're not going to bend over backwards for Kyrie in Miami. Pat Riley's too smart for that. Got too much, you know, he's got a huge ego. He's probably got too much respect for himself to sell out for a guy like that.
You make a good point, though. This could be good news for the Jazz. Not that they'd be in the Kyrie Irving business, especially with Danny Ainge's history yeah. with a man. But stepping in and facilitating something, absolutely. In fact, they'd be foolish not to kick the tires on that. You know, anytime the system gets moving, it can be advantageous to jump on board. I mention this all the time, but the Warriors owe a big thank you to the Utah Jazz for their dynasty.
Almost exclusively the Jazz. I mean, they drafted well, but...
The Jazz jumped in and greased the wheels for a trade, took Andres Biedrins off their hands.
And Brandon Rush.
And they were
three
able
terrible
to,
contracts.
To land Andre Iguodala. The Jazz just basically did it out of the kindness of their own heart because they could, and they grabbed some assets in the meantime, and the rest is history for the Warriors. Jumping in on some of those big deals can be super advantageous for clubs if they can facilitate it.
But I'm just going to go down the line here. You tell me if they make sense or not really quick. We'll do this for Kyrie trades. Denver Nuggets.
No.
Memphis Grizzlies.
No.
Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
Sacramento honestly could, and they're not going to rock anything because, again, they've got the third best record in the West, and they're not going to...
You asked me if it could make sense.
Yeah.
I think that could make sense. If I'm Sacramento, I absolutely don't do it because what do you need to trade for a volatile guy like that? You finally have a team
right.
that's halfway decent.
You're out of the shadow of DeMarcus Cousins for the first time, and then you bring in point guard DeMarcus
yeah.
Cousins.
But would it make him better? You bet.
Dallas Mavericks? You could potentially
no.
have a great backcourt, but
nope.
then you need two guys who need the ball.
He's not going to fall in line behind Luka. It's not going to happen.
Clippers?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. Minnesota?
Yes.
Be interesting. I mean, you'd have to move. I mean, they would move Gobert for Kyrie, potentially.
I'd move Karl Anthony Towns.
I don't think they'd do that. I think they would move Gobert. I don't think they'd move Kat. Suns?
No.
Jazz?
No.
Warriors actually would be a weird dark horse that I wouldn't totally rule out if they wanted to keep this window open.
It would make them better, sure.
And move, like, Wiggins.
But you're taking the ball out of Steph's hands.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't know if that's the smartest thing in the world.
Pelicans?
No.
Trailblazers?
They could do it. I don't think it'd be smart.
I mean,
but,
if you were moving Dame, I guess.
Yeah.
But Lakers, yes. Thunder, no. Spurs, no. Rockets, no.
Oh, if I'm the Nets, I absolutely want to trade him to the Rockets, yes.
Yeah, right. Pistons? You want to do Bojan Bogdanovic?
100%.
Alec Burks for Kyrie?
Oh, man. If I'm the Nets, I'm not even calling the Lakers. If you really want to get into a spite battle, it'd
yeah.
be like, I'm sending you to Detroit, Houston, maybe Oklahoma City. Other than that, you're not going anywhere, pal.
I think there is one team you could maybe trick, and it's your very own Charlotte Hornets.
No, oh, I'm sure they're always the pigeon in the room. But are they going to move Melo Ball for Kyrie?
No.
No.
They're moving Mason Plumlee and Kelly Oubre, who they're trying to get rid of, maybe Terry Rozier, just to get out of their contracts because they have terrible long-term contracts. For Kyrie, Michael Jordan says, well, I got my superstar. I think I can convince him to stay. And he goes back to playing where he played in college.
Oh, man, that
That's
would
actually
be
one
such
of the
a
weird
Hornets thing.
Dark horse team. Yes,
I bet they do
you.
It. I bet they do. You
I'm
know what?
You.
Now that you say that, that makes so much sense. I bet they do it.
I'm going to circle that team as my weird outlier that wants to make trades, wants to get out of contracts, and would be willing to bet on Kyrie even if it's for 3 months.
Let me tell you, I've said this to you before, Ben, having lived there, they love their North Carolina players. And I'm not talking about UNC. I'm talking about the state of North Carolina. I tell you, when I was there and the Jazz came into play and Thurl Big T Bailey was on the team from NC State, you know who got a standing freaking O?
Yep.
Big T. So, man, that's interesting because they would ignore all the nonsense and just love Kyrie, the Duke guy. That's interesting. I bet that happens. That doesn't make any sense for the Hornets, don't get me wrong, but that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. I would say the Hornets would make some sense. I would say the Wizards make some sense.
Yeah, who do the Wizards have to trade, though?
Yeah, it's like Kyle Kuzma, who wants a bunch of money this offseason, too. And they're probably better just holding on to him.
Hmm.
But, and you don't want to lose Kyrie for Kyle Kuzma. And I like Kuzma. I think he's had a very, very nice NBA career and has actually rounded into a really good player this year. But there are just so few areas he makes sense.
And now he has Brooklyn's feet to the fire. Absolutely. I'm taking back the worst contracts you got and sending you to Detroit or Houston. I don't even care. If I'm the Nets, it's like, I don't even want anything back. Just figure out a way to make the salary work.
But I will say this. To bring it back to the Jazz, one of the reasons Danny Ainge made all the trades he made this summer and wanted all the assets and all the different salaries that they have was specifically so he could get involved in these types of situations and pick somebody's pocket when they're not looking. Fine. I'll be the third team, and all I'm there is to facilitate the trade between two teams because one team is stuck. Actually, both teams, the Lakers and the Nets, are stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
And Danny says, oh, I can get you loose. But first, speaking of firsts.
I like the phrase, wet my beak.
Yeah.
I've got to wet my beak.
Yeah.
Happy to do that for you. But
right. If not, ta-ta.
I got to get a commission on that trade.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Netflix docuseries about Bernie Madoff. Started that the other day.
Yeah.
I'm only a couple episodes in, but man, commissions are nice. It's kind of like the house in Vegas, getting the 10%. Going for that. Sure. I'll eat Russell Westbrook's deal. I don't care. I was telling you off the air, I think it would be a good deal for the Jazz to have him play out the
before
season.
Before we even heard the Kyrie stuff today.
I think they should trade for Russ and have him play. I mean, we could dive into that if you really wanted to, but... yeah, facilitate that, sure, whatever you got to do. You got to win now with LeBron? You're desperate. Oh, you don't say. Well, I got it for you.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an exciting 6 days, and I very strongly suspect the Jazz will be involved in at least a couple of different deals.
More Hanson Scotty coming up next. Jake and Ben filling in. Stay tuned, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Kalani Sitake, BYU head coach, joins us now.
It seems like from the time the season ends till signing day and then spring ball is like 2 weeks. Now it's not, but my point is everything goes by really fast. How much are you pressed for time to get everything prepared for when you need it, given whatever it is that you're preparing for?
Yeah, I think that's just the different phases of the job. Looking at the calendar, spring ball for us starts March 6th, and you're like, hey, that's a month away. PK, you're right, it's going to fly by. And when you're trying to plan for the entire spring, the off-season conditioning, everything leading up until August fall camp, it seems to go really quick. This thing will run by real quick, and before you know it, we'll be talking about the home opener and talking about the Big 12 conference.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
I wouldn't eat that food, man. Not doing
weird people around here.
Really, really weird people. How are you on accepting food from strangers, or at very least, not like?
You know, I've had listeners bring food, and I thought it was a very nice gesture.
This is where you shake your head while you're saying it's a very nice gesture.
No, I've had people bring us food.
Listeners nice bring Hans food on remote all the time. Yeah, like, no, don't get me wrong, but it would be also a little bit different as, like, say somebody stopped and picked you up a burger as opposed to...
I'm not under the impression that I'm worth poisoning. You know what I'm saying?
That's
why I'm not that worried about TikTok.
I don't know. I hear some of your sports takes and I think, man, I want to poison you.
But no.
I've gotten some DMs from Suns fans.
Listen,
sure.
if you bring in your if you bring in your home-baked apple spice bread, you know what? There are some really good laws that restaurants and companies have to adhere to in order to provide you a standard. So set poisoning aside here for a second, Ben. I don't know what's in your kitchen, man. I don't know. Did you wash your hands before you did all that? I don't know what quality ingredients you're using. I don't know what your secret recipe, you know, your secret ingredient is.
And maybe I'm allergic to your secret ingredient.
Right. Hey, there you go. Very, very good point. But anyway, we were talking about people handing out free food. What do you think about? We talked a lot about the Kyrie Irving news, obviously. That's the big NBA news going on right now. Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Nets before Thursday's deadline. We'll see what happens and if anything happens. But let's talk about the big news yesterday. Ben, Lauri Markkanen is a Western Conference All-Star. You doubted it, of course. Shame on you. But he, long story short, he deserves it.
There's nothing inauthentic about him making the All-Star team. The numbers are there. The Jazz success is there. The nightly production is there. He just seems to be great every time he steps on the floor.
He's played in pretty near every game, might I add that.
48 games is a very big deal compared to, you know, 29 from Zion, who's actually starting. There's a real argument Lowry probably should have been starting. I think Kawhi last night played his 29th game. Paul George has only played 39. Yeah. Availability is a big deal. Being out there is a big deal. Now, I was surprised that some of the guys who did make the All-Star team in the West, including Paul George and Jaren Jackson Jr., who I wrote an article yesterday talking about all the guys who could push, you know, Lowry to make it and why they didn't deserve to be in the conversation with Lowry. I didn't even list Jaren Jackson Jr. He wasn't even on my radar of guys that could push him. I thought he would be an obvious exclusion, but like, oh, well, he played well. Good for him. You know, the same way Bojan Bogdanović probably should have gotten some All-Star love in the East, but was never seriously considered. I thought that's who Jaren Jackson Jr. was. But he made it. And good for him. But, yeah, Lowry, there was nothing fake about him being here. It's not because the game's in Utah. It's not because they're just trying to appease somebody on a team that's going to make the playoffs. Just every single thing he's done is real.
I said this in our show. The Jazz have had to politic a little bit to get players in. And I'm happy that they didn't, well, at least it seems, have to do any of that to get Lowry in. He was just, he's having a great year. He deserves it. He's being recognized as it. But I mean, you know, if you believe the legend, Larry Miller himself had to call David Stern to get memo in the All-Star game to replace Yao Ming. You know, there was a little politicking, I think, to get Mike Conley in the All-Star game last year. Last year?
Two years ago.
2 years ago, excuse me. I think they had to maneuver a little bit to make that happen. And you know what? Mike's not going to give it back. And he deserved it. He had a great year and all that. And there's a reason that they politicked to get him in. I'm just glad it wasn't necessary for Lowry. He's in. The coaches know. It didn't have to. You didn't have to use the excuse of, well, it's in Salt Lake. Let's give him a hometown guy. Nobody can complain about it. Even the snubs. I mean, Anthony Davis has nothing to complain about. Right. If he publicly complained about not making the All-Star game, we would all collectively eye roll. Right.
The names that have been, you know, used as snubs, and there's some significant ones out there, at least as far as just raw name value goes. But I'm not sure I would call them true snubs because I could make an argument for why all of those guys didn't make it. But Jimmy Butler, James Harden might have the best case of guys who, I mean, his numbers are fantastic. Philly's pretty good, obviously. He could be out there as well. But Trae Young is another big one. Kawhi is a name out there. Draymond Green's a name out there that was kind of mentioned as snubs. And look, those are, unfortunately, like six future Hall of Famers that are not going to be playing in Utah in this All-Star game, which is a little unfortunate for fans who are hoping to see some of those guys.
I don't think those guys all, I don't think they have a great case.
And then Anthony Davis, of course, as well.
Aaron Gordon has a pretty good case, I guess, but he's the third best player on his own team.
Right. And Jamal Murray didn't make it. So if the second best guy didn't make it, why would the third?
Good for Lowry. Jaren Jackson Jr. was the bubble one, right? He and Paul George,
very
probably.
Bubble, yeah.
He can't reward two Clippers, so Kawhi's out. And I'd pick Paul George, too, because he's been more consistently there.
Yep.
Barely, but more consistently there. Man. Anthony Davis. Are you buying the Lakers with, let's say they make the move for Kyrie. You buying Anthony Davis being able to actually play to get them where they want to go?
I wouldn't bet on him being fully healthy. I mean, I could absolutely see them losing and being in the playoffs just like they did against the Suns a couple of years ago and just saying, just didn't have our guy. Didn't have our, you know, not our best player. I still think LeBron's their best player, but AD, when he's fully healthy, is very close.
They need old street clothes to play.
Yeah.
What a great nickname.
But at least Kyrie gives you some breathing room in that situation. You have another guy you can go to. But LeBron, AD, and Kyrie gives you a puncher's chance against every single team in the West.
The way they use AD, though, is weird. If you watch, and this has been since they made a move for him, they'll let AD go hog wild in the first half, and then LeBron says, well,
freeze
it's
him out.
My turn.
Yep.
Like, well, yeah, I'm going to keep
LeBron time.
Yeah, I'm going to keep you happy by letting you get your stats in the first half, but when it comes down to it, LeBron cuts him out. But LeBron's done that throughout his entire career because he's LeBron. I mean, just I'm sure Chris Bosh can tell you all sorts of stories about it. But it is weird how they use him. Because if you look at Anthony Davis's numbers right now, Ben, let me see.
Ostrich.
He's averaging 26 points a game, yep. 12 rebounds. I would be curious to see how much of that he does in the first half.
In the first half, yeah.
I bet it's the majority.
Yep.
Because they use him weird. So, I don't know. And plus, Darvin Ham, he's not really doing it for me either. So, I don't know if I automatically would put the Lakers in contention if they make that move.
It puts them as talented as anybody in the West, which, again, was all the East, all the Brooklyn Nets had going for them in the East. It wasn't, you know, great chemistry. They've played better. They certainly have seemed to have, they at least we thought they had fixed their chemistry in recent months, but apparently they haven't.
The Nets shouldn't do it. Not to go back to the Kyrie thing, sorry, but
shouldn't do what? Shouldn't,
they shouldn't trade him? They should just sit on him.
I think if you do that, you're also going to lose KD.
He's under contract. He's not going anywhere.
But he'll demand a trade.
Yeah. Sit on him, too.
Well, it's not working for you for Kyrie, so once bitten, twice shy.
Well, you would think with KD, you would say, okay, well, this water will go under the bridge. We'll make our next move, and he'll be happy. With Kyrie, they've tried to do that half a dozen times, and it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Maybe with KD, it would work.
I would try and get maybe a couple of guys I could audition with KD for the last couple of months, go to the playoffs, and see if you have success. See if you have guys who are willing to buy in. Guys want to play with KD.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So I think that's the advantage there.
I'd rather play with KD than a handful of other superstars in the league.
But you know what? In all honesty, if I were the Nets, I would consider blowing it all up in the next 6 days.
Just starting over?
Just totally start over.
Pull Royce O'Neal aside and say, hey, we're building around you, pal.
Just say, you know what?
Buckets.
We know we're trading Kyrie. We're going to try and get whatever we can for him. Let's also figure out if we can get... If here's the trade. We talked about the Jazz move potential. I'll try and be quick here. If these two picks were going to go back to the Jazz, you know, Jazz were to take Russ in this situation, Kyrie goes to the Lakers, and then the Jazz send pieces to the Nets, and you were to get those picks. If I were the Nets, I might low-key explore my options to just take Russell Westbrook and those picks back, and then figure out what other deals there are for KD, and see if there are teams that are willing to offer, you know, three future firsts or four future firsts, similar to what the Jazz got for Donovan or Rudy, get some young pieces and totally start over with a bunch of draft picks. Because you lose Kyrie, as we've said, I don't think you're ever going to get back to the same talent level. And clearly, from your height, when you had James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, and you thought you were going to win a title, to where you are today, it's really rapidly crumbling. So I might just start over completely.
All right, we'll get to more coming up next. Jake and Ben sitting in for the moment for Hans and Scotty G. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, our guy Jeremiah stepping in with Hatch. Going to take you for the final 2 hours of the show. More next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, he covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. He's our friend Mitch Harper. If you're BYU and you have to pick one of two lanes as a football program, okay? One lane is we're going to sling it all over the field and score 50 points a game. Or the other lane, we're going to be the tough team and play slow it down, hard nose, that sort of thing. If you're BYU, which lane would you pick?
The high-flying offense. That's where college football is going, and that's where you've got to be. I think that, you know, TCU is an example of that. You got to have a high-powered offense to win in this sport. But, you know, I think that BYU, with all the hires that they have on their defensive staff, these are guys that have a strong history with Kyle Whittingham and the Utah football program, and Utah's blueprint works at the Power 5 level. Can BYU do that? I don't know. But I think BYU's identity, you know, what the makeup of BYU football is all about, strong, high-powered offenses, and I think that'd be the route that BYU should take.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, filling in for Hans and Scotty, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you about ReMedical, Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic, offering ED treatment that is discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. ReMedical, renew, restore, reclaim. Visit ReMedical.com today. Hans and Scotty will be back together on Monday. Lloyd, is that correct?
Maybe.
What's the maybe? Is Hans flying standby or something?
No, I think it's Monday that he comes back, I think.
Because
all the listeners just need a plan on him coming back. He'll be back.
By the way, Hans is the dude at the airport who will get bumped for whatever. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, hey, here's a ham sandwich and $5 in you know, credits. Will you get bumped from this flight and fly standby because we've overbooked? Hans is the guy who raises his hand and says yes.
Loves a deal.
Yeah, I think he's changed a little bit in that regard. I mean, he does like a deal still, but he's like he's a little bit different. I mean, he's into some of those amusement parks now, like Harry Potter Land or World or whatever it is. Like, it's not who he used to be, and now he's like into these weird things.
It's been domesticated.
Yeah, wait, right.
You're telling me that the guy 4 years. I fielded complaints from clients and restaurants about his inability to tip service staff.
What?
Is now spending zillions of dollars on Harry Potter World?
Yes.
What?
That is true. The tips, I think, are still the same. I don't know what they're like these days, but the Harry Potter Land and Lego World and all those things he's apparently really into these days.
You know how awkward it is to have a conversation with a man his size about telling him, like, listen, like $1.50 isn't going to cut it, dude.
I know you were there for like four hours right now. And I already see you starting to get hot about it right now.
Got to do a little better. You seem to me like you would be a strong tipper, Ben.
I've worked in that industry. I've been a server. I've been worked at a bar.
Do you know Hanson Lloyd's BOGO story?
I do.
it's a story I wish would just, it never happened.
It is a great story.
Because it's just so terrible.
It was buy one, get one, and Hans offered you the buy one, get one deal.
Yeah, I'm
and
like,
then
oh,
expected you to buy one.
So I'm thinking, oh, this is a great deal. So essentially, we'll just go in on whatever, $40. We'll pay $20 each. This is an awesome deal. And 18 holes for $20.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And a cart. What a great deal. And then I get there and I say, and I go, he's like, so you, I found I got to pay like the $45. Because actually it was at the course, what's that one by the airport? Wing Point? Yeah. It was actually out there. And
so what, did you just say you got to go pay?
Did you say,
are you going to Venmo me or something? Like, how did that go?
I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, it's. No, he went right. He goes, well, it's my gift card. I'm like, yeah, but we split it. What do you mean it's your gift card? No, it's mine.
I'm the one
and
free.
And then again, the guy is very large, so it's like, well, you're not wrong. It is your gift card,
you
I guess.
You should have left.
We
can all agree that you should have just left.
But I drove all the way out there by the airport.
Let me ask this. We're all getting to this point in our lives, and somewhat related to this. Jake, when you go out with your parents, specifically your parents, for dinner, who pays?
Depends on who, like, put it together.
Who
like, if we invited them to go to dinner, we'll pay. Yeah.
Lloyd, you've dealt with this situation?
Yeah. And the parents are always trying to pay. Like,
you're
they're
to
always.
The point.
It doesn't even matter. Yeah. Like, but it doesn't matter.
And I'm like, box them out and catch a bill. Yeah.
But
right.
it's a battle to try to box out parents.
But you'll try.
Like, yes, absolutely.
Because I know people that don't even try. You know what
they
I mean?
They do the fake.
The
like,
alligator arms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
dang it.
No. We'll, if we invite them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to take a trip with my parents coming up, and we want to take them out to dinner as like a thank you for they're going to watch the children while I play golf. So
and you're not talking about like taking them to some fast food joint, like a nice
restaurant.
Dinner. Okay. Yeah. Right. Anyway.
Because at some point in your life that has. No, I'm just curious because at some point in your life that changes.
Right.
I'm just curious where you are. I know some people, maybe there's a hard, fast rule that the parents always pay.
Yeah. No, I try to. The parents did it for so long that it's like, I feel like it's now time to thank you. And here, let me just get that for you.
Because I did this the other day. I told you I went to dinner with my parents and the lady. And my parents put it together. And the lady pulled out her credit card. And I said, no, my parents will pay for it. I announced. Yeah. It was nice of her to try and box out. But I said, they set it up. It's fine. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do something nice for us. Let them do it.
Sure.
And I have no problem letting them do it.
No.
Now, we also do pay. You know, I've told you I've started to feel like Clark Griswold for the first time, where I realized, like, oh, I'm hosting Christmas now. I'm kind of running the show for a lot of things now. But, you know, do I always need to do it now? I don't know. The way Hans seems to assume that everyone else should always pay. That's just why I brought it up.
You don't holler at your folks and say, hey, it's Saturday night. Let's go out on the town.
I got a great restaurant I want to try.
And then you go to Lakai.
Yeah.
And then the bill comes and you're just looking at your dad.
And then you've actually already left the table.
Yeah.
And the check is there.
Oh, yeah, I got to hit the can.
I got to hit the can.
Or we're leaving. We got to get where our movie starts at 10.
You know what? We'll meet you out front.
Yeah.
We'll meet you out front.
Yeah. Thanks for that, by the way, Dad.
Appreciate the dinner.
It's a great meal. You guys going home now, right?
I understand. We have listeners that are going to deal with this tonight, tomorrow. I mean, and in the next month, for sure. Valentine's Day. There's probably still a lot of people who hang out with the fam. Do a
it's
big thing.
Not really a fam day.
But there are still people who do it. There are still people who go out with the family, double date, whatever. It's a thing people do. And you try and figure out how to split up the bill.
Double date with my parents.
But
double
I am with
date
you.
With the parents.
You know, you brought up something that is great now. All of the $1 million, I'm with, yeah, no one wants to double date with their parents. All the million cash apps have made splitting bills so nice.
Oh, so
and
nice.
So much less awkward.
I'm sure servers just love it.
Yeah.
You just have one person pay the bill, and then you take a picture of the bill, and you pass it around and say, Venmo me some dough.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the Hans BOGO thing is so offensive. Yeah. It wouldn't be very hard. Like, hey, Lloyd, just throw the round on your card, and I'll Venmo you 20. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's so easy to do.
I know. But anyway. He hates that story so much, and I'm just like, hey, you shouldn't have did it then.
Don't make your own bed
and then
hate your bed.
Don't
yeah.
do it.
I don't know what to tell you.
Don't be the guy who buys bedazzled jeans, leaves the tag on, and takes them back after the weekend.
Bedazzled jeans. Oh, I remember when he used to try on. They were like,
they were like
test driving. He test drive pants.
He'd have a birthday party or something over the weekend that he'd know about. He'd go to some department store, buy some bedazzled jeans, tuck the tag like inside, wear them over the weekend, and then come back on Monday and be like, oh, these bedazzled jeans aren't bedazzled enough. I'd like my money back,
please. He's going to come back from his trip and be so grumpy.
If he hears
this is going to get back to him.
If he hears this
is going to get back
he's
to him.
Is he going to come back and say, oh, man, I had a rough morning?
I'm not taking any part in that. Not in
we
that part.
We should play that.
No, we're not.
Why not?
No, I will not be part of that.
We should play the 911 call.
No, because that was too far. That was too far. That was the death of his dog. And you're taking joy in the death of his dog.
No, that I am not.
Yes, you did.
No, I am
you
not.
Did.
This is the misconception from
no,
both
you
and Hans.
You did.
No, I'm laughing at the guy who chose the moment in an interview after a game he just won to have that emotional breakdown.
We can't choose when we have our breakdowns. That just happened to be when it happened.
What would happen if
where do you stand on this,
what
Ben?
What would happen if Jalen...
I see you sitting the sideline over there.
Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl and whatever, walks up to him after the game like, Jalen, you just did it. And he's like, I want to dedicate this to my dog Gus. Died in my arms this morning. We'd be laughing. We'd be laughing. That's what happened, except for it was an AFL game, not the Super Bowl. Hans won the game for the team. Did he block a field goal? Go watch him. Hans, what a great play. Oh, man, I had a rough morning.
As you can
That's
see,
funny.
Ben's sitting out and I'm sitting out.
It's funny.
Just Jake.
You know what? Hans lost his pet is not funny. Hans crying about it on television after winning a football game. Funny. Come on,
you
it's
are
funny.
You're such a bad person.
I am not a bad person. That
you
is
are.
Funny.
You are. You're pretty bad.
Hans just can't have a sense of humor about how funny it is, because it's funny.
I guess I would have thought he would have come around on it a little bit more in the last, 15 years now?
Yeah, Hans never comes around on anything. They're still playing that Idaho drop over and over again. It makes him mad every time. And that's hilarious. Died in my arms. Had a heart attack. It's funny, Lloyd, and you think it's funny, too. Don't give me this.
Nope, not going there.
Ben
not
also
on
thinks
this.
It's funny, but he's not brave enough to own up to it.
We got to go to break, I think.
Hatching that
way over.
Jeremiah, coming up next.
Oh, we can keep going?
97.5.
Hey,
DKSL
let your family
Sports
buy you
Zone.
Dinner tonight.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me.
And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.